Yeah, seconds. Hold on.
Yep.
I'm having some headphone technical difficulties. Give me a second.
Got you. Well, you're the first one here, so.
Call ended.
Yo, what up, fellas?
Cause God.
How y'all doing?
Hey, man, sometimes you can't call it. All right, so we're just waiting on Two Gun right now. I guess I can do the proper intro. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Digga Jones. Two Gun Tony will be on in a minute, and this is the Troublemakers Podcast. Yay. But we got two correspondents on the show with us right now. We got Red and D Kush. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves. Any one of you.
Okay, well, this is Kush God. Y'all know who it is. I haven't been on for a while, but I'm glad to be back.
All right. And I think Red was straightening out his headphones. So, it still says he's connected, so. Oops. He just left. Let me go ahead and send him another invite.
Got disconnected. It happened.
Hold on, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So I had to send Red another invite. I guess I got...
Yo.
Okay, there he is.
Yeah man. It was having my... Not my usual headphones that I'm typically rocking with tonight. My AirPods are dead. Okay, properly playing.
All right. So.
Can y'all hear me?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. I got you. Time for my intro?
Yeah, it's time for your intro, yes.
All right, my apologies, y'all, but what up? This is Red. Glad to be on the show for another Talk Tuesday. I'm ready.
All right, then all we got to do is wait on Two Gun. Mr. Johnny come lately today.
Always waiting on Gunna. You know.
Nah, actually, believe it or not, remember the last several episodes, he was the first one on.
Thank you.
Yeah, he was on time. Yeah, Gunner was on time last time.
All right, hold on. Let me get to the question. Sorry for the delayed intro, y'all. Normally, we're better than this. Hold on, let me send Two Gun another invite.
Yep.
There you go. Oh, there he is.
There he is.
There you go.
What am I late?
You're late, yeah.
Shit, I just got the invite.
Well, technically.
Yeah.
No, because I sent you the invite through Anchor first.
No, I didn't get that.
Okay, so just send it via text from now on?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I mean, to be fair, and all you LetterKitty fans, to be fair... But to be fair, we're actually late because I'm you know, whenever we do these later shows, it's always my fault.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. Me and Two Gun used to have a strict 9 o'clock policy.
Yeah, y'all be making those extra accommodations for your boy, man. Mm-hmm. And I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, we used to have a strict 9 o'clock philosophy. Now it's 9:30 because of Red.
And tonight it's 9:45 because of Red.
Because of Red.
Right. Oh, Red's on?
Yeah, it's my fault.
Say it one more time, Gunner.
Oh, I say Ray's on.
Ray?
Yeah.
Is it?
Who'd you say?
Red, me.
Oh, Red. I was about to say.
No, because I was just like, I didn't send Ray an invite. Okay, so tonight is Talk Tuesday. Gunner, order of answers.
Hold on. Kush, Red, me, then you.
Gotcha. So the first question goes, well, first things before we even start, you know, I do want to talk about the track. All
right.
And, you know, I think at current time, 16 kids were killed and 3 adults.
I think they upped it to 18 kids. 18 I mean, it doesn't course. Matter the number of kids, like one is enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, It's fucking disgusting, dude. Like, and I don't mean to just kind of like jump in and start talking about it. But my thoughts on this is, you know, like, we don't know I personally wasn't following the news enough because I was at work, but I don't know the full backstory of the kid. But the one thing I do know about this kid is he was 18 years old. You know what I mean? Quick. You look at it. Go ahead.
Not only that, he killed his grandmother before he killed these children.
Yeah. Like, he killed the grandmother before he left. But he was 18 years old. You look at last week. You know what I mean? Like, the shooter up here, you know, and I live close to Buffalo. So, you know, like, just being up here in this community, it kind of hit close to – it hit close to home. I'm not going to say kind of. It did hit close to home. You know what I mean? Because if you look at that boy's manifest, like, it could have been, like, on that boy's manifest, the Buffalo shooter, like, he was targeting the mall that I go to in my area. You know what I mean? Like, and he was targeting, like, the stores that are, like, less than a mile down the street from us. You know what I mean? So,
right.
And obviously, he was targeting for, like, predominantly black area. But, you know, it's disgusting. You know what I mean? I was looking at some of the statistics on, like, mass shootings, and, you know, they said, like, something like ever since 1966, there was 402 shootings that they classify as mass shootings. Correct. In the United States.
Yeah, me and Digger went through all of those one night on the phone.
Yeah, like, and in between 2012 and 2020, 160 of those occurred.
Word.
You know what I mean? Like that's almost half in the last 8 years. Correct. And it's crazy. And, like, 1 week, you're not allowed to be black. You get killed. And, like, this week, you're not allowed to be a fucking kid. You know what I mean? And you're getting killed. And it's ridiculous. And, like, in my mind, like, obviously, you're not going to be able to go out there and stop everybody. You know what I mean? Like, because you can't. You got to do what you can do from your perspective to just do what you can do. Like, I mean, you got to go out there and make sure you take care of your fam, letting your fam know, like that you love them, you care about them. From a standpoint when it comes to, like, a deeper scale, I mean, you got to vote, you know what I mean, and really read what the fuck you're voting for. You know what I mean? Because, like, whether it's big government, local government, you know, there's stuff that's put into those things that can help, maybe not prevent something like this, but help stall it a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, there's different laws and stuff like that, you know, you can vote on and have, like, some say to help stall something like this. You know what I mean? And then at the end of the day, man, big government needs to make some changes, man. Like it's, I never fathomed at the age of 18 having access to, like, the weapons that some of these kids are having, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, right. When you're 21 years old, that's when you legally are allowed to drink. But, like, you're telling me I can get a semi-automatic weapon or a handgun at the age of 18? Fuck out of here.
Kush, you got anything?
I thought Kush was about to go first. What happened?
No. This was a subject that we didn't go in order. It was just, you know, I just wanted wanted to get this out the way before we started the show.
Nah, because I cut out for a second. That's why.
Gotcha.
Honestly, they just need to figure it out, man. Gun reform, people just need to get out there and vote because you got a lot of these states where people go out here and buy this shit without having a license or a permit now. And it's just. Mm-hmm. I mean, the shit is just going to get worse. I'm like, you look at what we're dealing with now, and when you're making it easier for people to do this type of shit, it's sad, man. My youngest son just graduated from kindergarten, and I can only imagine what those parents are feeling right now.
Facts, man. You know, I got kids. I think everybody on here except Two Gun got kids. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and you know, my daughter's starting... She's starting kindergarten, like, this fall. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
And, like, all this stuff that's going on, I don't know, like, how I feel about it. Luckily, like I said, and I think I said this, I may have said this to Digger on the phone or talking to y'all maybe last show. I don't remember, but I remember saying to somebody, but, you know, sometimes I feel privileged and guilty at the same time. You know what I mean? Because like, I've done what I need to do to what I think put my family in a good position,
right,
to where I am in a what is considered a good neighborhood. I am in a what is considered a good area. You know what right. I mean? Like to where things are supposed to be safe for my family. But like, but you can't even look at it like that anymore, because like, I don't think that there's, you know, there's any reasoning for some of the things that are happening now. It's just like people are just going to go out there and try to make a statement and do things.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how good of a position I try to put myself and my family in. You know, my daughter's still going to be black. You know what I mean? My son's is still going to be black. So it doesn't matter if we're standing in that grocery store in Buffalo, then they're not going to get to skip that bullet, if you will. And I know it's sad to say, it's sad to think about, but like, that kind of makes me feel guilty a little bit, because like I said, I can do whatever I can do to get them out of harm's way as much as I can, but still, like, they're still going to be black. They're still going to be young, and somebody who wants to take their life is going to attempt to do it, and it's just disgusting. And I agree with Kush. Like, you got to go out there and vote. You got to go out there and read the fucking laws before you vote on them, and stop giving these people so much power. It's just like everybody wants their guns, because you know, like everybody wants the right to bear arms. But then, like, what happens when you get that right to bear arms, and there's somebody who's like, well, now that I got this gun, I'm just going to go shoot the fucking place up. You know what I mean? There's got to be more done, man.
All right. And like I said, you know, I just wanted to speak on that before we got into Talk Tuesday, but let's just go ahead and take a crack at it.
I guess I had nothing to say about it, huh?
Oh, my bad, Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
What was the question, though? What did you ask?
It wasn't a question. I just asked everybody what they, you know, what their thoughts or what they were feeling about what happened in Texas today.
Man, this is America. This is what we breed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's, you could just look at the difference in how shit happens in America and other places.
Right.
When people do these mass shootings in America, it's usually some type of manifesto or message behind it against a certain group of people or something like that. But it's always a target that can't, won't, or just not capable of defending themselves.
Facts.
You know what I mean? A church, a school.
It's crazy that you say that, because I was watching Biden, you know, our current president, and he was saying the same thing. He just left some countries, and they don't have mass shooting in these other countries, man.
Correct.
And they deal with the same shit that we deal with, mental illness, domestic, all of that kind of shit, but they don't have mass shooting. And it's just like America, we make excuses for the shit.
We do.
But you know, it's
crazy.
It's funny because a few years ago, I was talking to this girl online from Australia, right? And she's just like, you know, hey, I want to meet you, but I don't want to come to America. I'm like, why? She goes, you don't realize how violent your country is. And when you look at the murder rate in America per capita with other countries, do you know we have more murders in our country than the other countries have in the world?
Because that's what America, how was America was formed.
It was. And like,
murder rate.
The big thing with that is, it's like, I personally feel like it's like, you got to give, like if you want to give something, if you want to get something, then you got to like something has to sacrifice. You know what I mean? And what I feel like, and what I'm going to say is like, And not to sound biased or racist, but that's actually the way I feel. In order for white people and upper class to feel comfortable, then the poor has to sacrifice. You know what I mean? Like the poor has to sacrifice in order for them to feel comfortable, because they're scared of the poor. They're scared of people who don't have like a lot of options, because they feel like when they don't have those options, they may do something rash to get it. And it's like that with everything. It's the same thing with like guns in the country, right? People mm-hmm. want their guns, but then like, all right, you know what? We'll give everybody their guns, but you know what? Somebody's going to have to sacrifice, and you know, these mass shootings will just be the sacrifice. But we're not going to change the law because I want the law to make sure that everybody who wants those guns and everybody, those folks who voted for me and I'm allowing them to have the guns, have those guns. You know what I mean? I don't know if I articulated that the way I wanted to, but like, but that's the way I feel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's right. The reason why you got to get out there and vote. That's the reason why you really got to like look at who the fuck you're putting in office and not just pick off of a party. You know what I mean? Like it's fucking sickening.
All right. So I'm gonna jump into Talk Tuesday now.
Let's get it.
I ain't gonna lie. I'm just glad it wasn't a black dude that did the shooting. I ain't even gonna lie to you.
What?
Where?
He was Spanish. He's close enough.
Well, not too close, because you know they don't fuck with us like that either. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Hey.
The first question reads: why do you think that mental health is now on the forefront of today's society?
Okay.
Such easy. A technical
that's
question.
That is so easy to answer because
It's such a technical question after we just talked about what we talked about. But go ahead, Kush.
Right. I mean, listen, it's at the forefront because we put it at the forefront. Right. We wanted to make it something that, you know, we focused on because for a long time it was something that was swept under the rug. Now we bring it to the forefront. That's what's there. Like, I mean, it's simple. Simple. It's there because we put it there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would agree. It's there because like we're talking about it. When it comes to like mental health, like it was always that that stigma about talking about it up front, or you know, like that motherfucker right there is crazy. Don't talk to him. Don't talk about him. Like, but now I think it's there. I think it's in the forefront for two reasons. Reason number one is because like we put it there. Like you said, like now we're talking about it, but also reason number two is because there's a lot more people using it as an excuse, and right. So, some of it's valid, some of it's not, but there's a lot more people using mental health as an excuse to kind of get by for certain things that are happening, right? Mm-hmm. So we talked about the shooting. So look at the shooting in Buffalo. The question came up in Buffalo when that boy who went there, drove 2 hours, had the consciousness, and Digga, you said this to me, had the consciousness to look at the dude and say, oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to shoot you, I'm really trying to shoot them. And then talking about, like, oh, was he mentally disabled? Was it a mental health that caused that, right? And some people try to use that as an excuse to kind of, like curb the real issue. So I think it's coming up to the forefront is because we're talking about it more and we're bringing it to the forefront. But then also some people are using it as an excuse to curb some of the real issues.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gunner.
When it comes to mental health, that shit could go a lot of ways. Like a lot of times it's a scapegoat mm-hmm. for people doing dumb shit. I think again, a lot of it, mental health is on society, how everybody treats people, the chemicals and the air and the food, and you know what I mean?
Because mm-hmm.
even when you was younger, I don't remember it being a lot of mentally disabled kids in schools like that.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
I was about to bring up that point also.
Now it just seems like it's more, you know, it's more mentally disabled people.
It's literally the go-to.
And yeah. then it's like, you know, a lot of times it's brought up to take the blame off a lot of stuff. It's brought up to make your daily activities easier because, you know, oh, I'm having a mental health breakdown. I need, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like nowadays you can have, say, yo, I need a month for my mental health pain.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And I was about to touch on that also.
Yeah, I got one more point with that, but go ahead, Dick. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, it just matter. It's just the context of it and what we're really talking about when it comes to mental health. Like, it's always, it can be used better for some people than it can for others. Like you said, the shooter guy, he was white. Oh, it's mental health. If he was black, thug, criminal.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean?
go ahead with your point, Red. No, my point was like to your point, like kind of using it as a scapegoat and an excuse. And I'll just give y'all an example. I don't think any of my any of the folks I work with listen to the show. Sorry, Digga, but you know where I work, like I got into a conversation with one of my employees, and it was just like, oh, I'm just gonna take a mental health day. Just because, you know, I just really don't feel like being here. So I'm just going to take a mental health day. And you know what? And if they say something about it, then I'll just sue the company because, you know, they don't play around when it comes to mental health. So and I was like, my mindset, you know, was like that right there is the worst example of mental health, because you want a day off because it's sunny outside and you feel like you're sitting at home and don't want to be at work. You're going to just chalk it up and say, I'm going to take a mental health day and leave early. And then we can't say nothing about it because we'll sue, because mental health is at the forefront of everything. And we take it serious. Like that's what I mean by like when people just start making excuses for mental health and it's just trying to be easier to say some shit like that. I feel comfortable to say shit like that because of the way that mental health is starting to be perceived by most people out there.
So,
and I think, again, one thing I was going to say, and I think people use it to hide certain aspects of their self that they don't want people to know about.
Yeah.
Like, say, you're walking down the street and you see, like, a group of people, and they'd be like, oh, my God, my anxiety's acting up. When 20 years ago, it'd be like, damn, I'm kind of scared to walk down that street.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so, like that.
My answer is not so much of a technical one, but a one that's just like point blank. I think it's used as a scapegoat. And those who know me, I know Red knows this. Back in 2006, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. Yeah. Have I ever used that as an excuse or a hindrance? No, it's just something you deal with. You take your meds, you go about your day. Never have I had a quote unquote bitch fit and just say, I can't do this. My mental health won't allow me to do this. Everybody's using mental health nowadays as a scapegoat, like Red, to get off of work. And like you guys said, just like to, you know, cover up their unhidden fears, like walking down the back neighborhood.
To save face.
Like that.
Everything is
yeah,
to save
basically
face,
saving
man.
Face. Like, that's why it's at the forefront right now, because people are using it as a fucking excuse. And like Red said, one of the examples I gave Red on the phone is they're going to use the mental health excuse for this Buffalo shooter. But if you have enough mental capacity to know that you're about to shoot a white guy, you say sorry and then go off and shoot more African Americans, that means you're not mentally incapable. That means you knew what the fuck you were doing and it was intentional. So many people are using this shit as a scapegoat. It's disgusting. It's especially disgusting for people who actually have been diagnosed with mental health issues. Never once made it an excuse of this is why I do what I do because I'm this way or I was diagnosed with this. Bullshit. Red, have I ever used my mental handicap as an excuse?
Not that I know of. Nope.
Two Gun, have I ever used it as an excuse?
Mm-mm.
Two Gun and I actually had a conversation and Two Gun even blatantly said, I don't think you're bipolar. I don't think you're bipolar, point blank. And I don't feel bipolar, but that's what I was diagnosed with, but I never used that as a crutch or a handicap.
I would use that shit to run that checkup.
Listen,
I should.
At the end of the day, I'm going to tell you, especially when it comes to the Buffalo shooter and when it comes to mental health, like in the courtroom, the only thing mental health gives you, and it's probably for the Buffalo shooter, is going to be the difference between life in prison and the death penalty.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's just go ahead and shoot to the next question. The next question is not even a question. It's a statement. It says, about damn time. Guys, we only took a week off.
Right.
It was only a week.
They miss it, man. That's a good thing.
No, that is a good thing, but we only took a week off. I know it seems like, you know, you don't know what to do with your, you know, Wednesday or the rest of the week when we're, you know, when you listen to it. We really only took a week off, and that's because I was on vacation. So, the next question reads, if you cheat on somebody in a long-distance relationship, is it really cheating?
What do they consider cheating, though?
That's what I want to know. Well, it doesn't state. It says, if you cheat on somebody in a long-distance relationship, is it really cheating? They never really specify what cheating is.
Okay. That's a very open-ended question right there. Then. I need specifics, because if it's a long-distance relationship, like, you could literally say hi to somebody and you could consider that cheating.
That's right. I think it means full out in the course, getting busy in a Burger King bathroom type shit.
I mean, you know? So it's just, I'm just saying, like, if you being physical, that's something different. If you just saying hi and bye to a motherfucker, then for you to assume that person is cheating, you know what I'm saying, you need to work on yourself.
That's true.
Thanks.
Red?
Well, this one kind of hits home because I've been in what I can consider, remember, I've been in three long-distance relationships.
Right.
And what I consider long-distance is it's like, at the minimum, two states away. And in one situation, I didn't cheat, but I made it a point. I could have, because I had the offers, but I made it a point to not cheat, but then that person ended up cheating on me. And another, yeah.
That's why you always cheat first, my man.
Right? the other instance was I did cheat, and then the other person didn't find out, but then that other person ended up getting with somebody else. Like, the moral of the story is this. I'm gonna be real with you, and this may sound disgusting. You know, my dick long, but it ain't two or three states long. So I'm not gonna be able to frequently go to where you at to get what I need. So it really depends on how the severity, if you will, of the relationship. Because at the end of the day, like, there are needs that need to be met. Uh-huh. And, like, sometimes, even, no matter how good you are, or like sometimes somebody's going to drop the ball. Like I said, I was a good dude for almost a year for the one relationship. And then the other chick dropped the ball. The other relationship, I wasn't such a good dude. But then, like, we both end up dropping the ball. The third one. You know, I saw her on a frequent because, you know, I would drive from, it was like two or three states away. I would drive back and forth, but like still, when they were gone, I mean, there were some needs. I don't know. Long distance relationships are tough, man. Like, so my answer is I don't see anything wrong with it. It just depends on the severity of the relationship.
Dig it.
Yeah.
Gunner, if you cheat on somebody in a long distance relationship, is it really cheating?
It depends on the distance. Like, if I know I can't see you but twice a year, come on, let's be honest. You know
what I'm saying? That's my point, man. That's my point.
And it's like, it's only cheating in a long distance relationship if it bothers you that you did it.
Right.
Ooh, that's a good point. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because how they gonna find out? You know what I mean? Like, bitch, I ain't gonna see you for another 6 months. That pussy juice gonna be way gone off my dick by the time I see you. You know what I'm saying? And the same thing go for the girl, too. That sperm gonna be off your breath way before I see you.
Right?
You know, and it's kind of like when you get in relationships like that, it's like Russian roulette. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You just never know what a person could be doing in Florida and you live in Maine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Anything like, yeah, that's just a hard, very hard situation you can put yourself into.
Right. And like, my whole thing is, it depends on the openness of the relationship. You know what I mean? Because if you guys, you know, like, I've been in long distance relationships before where I'm just like, look, you got to pass. You do what you got to do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I can't be there to knock the dust off that pussy, so just have somebody else do it for me. You know what I mean?
Hey, just make sure they knock it off with a rubber on, though.
Exactly.
Listen, like, if you call them, like, and I'll tell you my situation. One of the chicks that I was dealing with, and I don't care if they're to the show, one of the chicks I was dealing with lived in Hawaii at the time. The other one lived in Oklahoma, and I was in South Carolina. And, like, when it comes down to it, like, if they go out and like, you hear guys in the background or whatever, like, are you really hopping on a plane, getting in the car and going the way the fuck over there to be like, yo, what the fuck's going on? Hell no. You let them live, and then, you know what I mean, when y'all come back together, if y'all can make it work when they come back together, then that's an understanding that y'all gotta have.
Word. So let's move on to the next question.
Yeah, do it at your own risk, basically.
The next question actually made me laugh. The next question says, have y'all tried hard drugs like cocaine or heroin?
What the fuck?
For real? First and foremost, which one of your followers works with the or work with the police department?
For real.
Trying to get somebody indicted over here.
No, they said using it, though. You can always get off for using it. You can.
Yeah, so it doesn't even say using. It says, have you ever tried hard drugs?
Like, hell no, cocaine. I ain't tried none of that shit, man. I ain't tried none of that shit. All right. I think the furthest I've ever gone when it comes to that hard shit is like ecstasy and coke. But crack, like crack and heroin, like,
like the fuck? Hey, then, nigga, which one of your followers act that from their meth lab, dog? For real. They acted like they're looking.
That definitely came from the meth lab.
They acted like they're looking for customers, man. Like, yo,
for real.
Have you ever tried it? Do y'all want to? Yo, to be real with you, I'm gonna be 100% honest. Like, I've never smoked weed before.
Damn.
Yeah. I've gotten contact high. You know what I mean? I'm a drinker, not a smoker. So
and you're barely that.
And I'm barely that at times. You know what I mean? So like. Yeah, I've never tried any hard drug. Have I? Like, nah, never tried it. No crack, no heroin. Nah. And if I was doing crack or heroin, do you really think I'd be on this show right now? I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere with a needle in my arm or some shit. What the fuck?
Right.
I've tried cocaine by accident.
I gotta hear about this.
Didn't you tell the story before?
I think so. Yeah, I was, you know, I used to, everybody knows, I used to sell weed, a lot of weed. Set your limitations up on that one, guys. And this one guy I used to see, he was an Italian guy. You know, I took him, whatever, and I'm like, damn, I need some weed for this ride back. So he gives me a bag. You know, it's my weed, I'm thinking, but I smoke that shit, and I get the jitters like a motherfucker. I'm like, yo, what is that you gave me? And the first thing he said was, my bad. I forgot I'd be weighing the weed on the same scale I weigh the coke on. Oh. And I'm like, wow. I was like, why would you do that? He was like, I was like, you was rushing. I wasn't thinking. You know, I was like, it's okay. But that feeling to feel the difference in something that you know the way it's supposed to be and it ain't supposed to be this is the weirdest feeling in the world.
Word. Smoky, man. Now, it says, have you ever tried hard drugs like cocaine or heroin? No. Like Red, I've never even smoked weed before. Like Red, ooh, I've gotten contact high. But nah. If I'm too scary to try weed, what makes you think I'm going to say I'm just going to graduate to cocaine right now? Like,
I'm on. Before I die, I really need you two guys to smoke a joint with me.
You know, maybe. I get that all the time.
Maybe. You know, I've heard that so many times before too.
Yo, shout out to Ray. Ray has a plan, in all honesty. He said, you know what? We're not going to start out with just regular weed. We're going to start off with the edibles and work.
No.
Like the brownies. Not the edibles. Like the brownies. The brownies.
No. Fuck. No. No.
That shit works.
What? What?
I don't know, but he said, I told him I don't think I would like the way it tastes, and then he asked me if I like brownies one time. I think he was in Vegas when he asked the question.
Let me tell you something about edibles. All right, boom. Smoke a weed is a controlled smoke. Puff, yes. Puff, pass. I don't want to smoke no more. You understand?
Tell him, Red.
You eat a fucking edible, you don't know when it's going to hit, how it's going to hit, and how long it's going to hit. You know what I'm saying?
Edibles are no fucking joke.
The only reason why that conversation came up, because like I said, we was in Vegas, and I remember he was like, yo, I want to get you high one time or whatever, because I told him I never did it. And I was like, and I remember saying something like, I don't know if I would just smoke it. I would need to like have a brownie in it. It needs to taste like a brownie or something like that. And I think that's the reason why we came up with that conversation.
It's going to have a slight taste, not nothing to make you gag.
Exactly. But, like you really won't taste it. The way they do that shit now, you won't taste it at all.
Like I said, you've never had the taste, so you might taste a little something.
All right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, do not do no edibles. The edibles is the type of shit where you take that shit at 9 o'clock, go to sleep, wake up 2 a.m. and use the bathroom, run into the wall, turn at the wall like you want to fight the wall, go back and pee. You understand? Like, who the fuck you bumping into? Like, it's a wall.
All right. One time before I die, two guns, I got you. I'll smoke one with you.
Yeah, just don't start with no edibles.
So the next question reads, is it okay to cheat if I know he cheated, but he doesn't know I know?
Yes.
What?
I love how you answer.
Yeah, fuck that. Yes.
Man, if you gotta ask all of that, you probably already cheating your fucking self.
For real.
like what?
They're just looking for that green light. They're just looking to make sure it's okay.
I swear these females today, the females, they try to be sneaky, but man, y'all just sound retarded asking these questions sometimes, man. Like, what do you? Like, common sense would tell you, like, oh, well, this man cheated. I know he cheated. I'm going to go cheat now. Like, we know you already done it. You already did.
Exactly.
You asked the freaking question, you did.
I think what she's looking for is confirmation. Just like,
well, we confirmed you cheated.
So the answer to that is what you did was okay. But at the end of the day, like, what this is telling me, since you're asking that question and you're not like, you know your man cheating, you're not confronting your man saying like, yo, what the fuck is up? Let me know that you really don't care about that nigga like that. And
the relationship is in shambles.
Yeah, it was in shambles before you even asked that question. Like, exactly. And you're just like, well, fuck it. Like, if he's out there cheating, is it okay for me to do the same goddamn thing? Like, that means you don't give a fuck about the relationship anyway. So, yeah, it's okay. Because if you cared, then you wouldn't have never asked that question. You would have asked the question like, yo, how do I confront my man who cheated because I'm really hurt about the shit? Instead of, should I just cheat too? No.
Listen, lady, if you are looking for a sign to be a hoe, this is it.
Like, she's looking to see if it's okay for a revenge fuck.
Right.
But what does that mean? She's going to fuck harder? I'm going to cheat harder?
Right. Like,
you know what I mean? Harder, though. I mean, you know, she might have found out he got his dick sucked. This means she's going to get her pussy, ass, and her mouth fucked. You know what I'm saying?
She said, I'm going to suck the shit out that nigga's dick.
And I'm going to do it raw. Like, okay.
She's somewhere in the Phoenix Suns locker room right now. Get ready.
For real.
So the next question reads, have you ever tried to fight your parents?
Man, you know what? Listen, fuck no. I'm not stupid. I'm not dumb enough to do no shit like that, man. Like, nah. Plus, I have too much respect for my parents. Like, I'm not gonna sit up there and try to fight nobody. Like, it's not happening. Never done it. Never thought about it. It won't happen.
Word.
Ready? For me, I've gotten into some shouting matches and some arguments with them. I think for what I had going on at the age of, you know, like, where you would feel bold enough to fight your parents, I think I had too much stuff going on in my personal life as far as like not even putting myself in a, because, you know, you can contest this. I went to jail during that time. I almost died because I had brain surgery and shit at that time. I was just going too much as a teenager to even have the energy to try to fight my parents, to be honest with you.
That's true. Gonna.
As black people, I wouldn't say like fighting parents. You know what I'm saying? If you're a boy with a father, I think it's gonna be always, you're gonna let your nuts drop and you know what I'm saying? You're gonna bolt your chest out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's either one thing, two things gonna happen. You and your dad are going to have a scuffle, or he's going to beat the shit out of you.
Period. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So fighting parents, nah. But, like, you know, as a man, two men, it's at some point y'all going to bump heads. Right. You know, if you feel that you could take your father, hey, try it. You know, say, I would. I know I could take my pops. So. Would I fight him? When I was young, yeah, I probably would have beat the living shit out of him. I ain't even gonna lie.
My answer comes with a story. Red can confirm this.
Yes.
So one time, me and my dad, we got into it. So my dad's just like, yo, you ain't going nowhere. Your room ain't clean. Once your room's clean, you can go to the mall with your friend Adam. I said, man, fuck this shit. I'm going to the mall with my friend Adam regardless.
So you were smelling your nuts.
I was smelling myself. Yeah, I was really smelling myself. So I went to the mall with my friend Adam. And, you know, my dad played it cool, right? He was just like, right before I left, he's like, you better not leave this damn house. And I looked him in the face, and I'm just like, all right. And I left the house, right? So I come back about a couple hours later, and my mom, she's sitting in the living room like, you really pissed your dad off. I'm like, and you know, like I said, I was about 15, 16. I was feeling myself. I'm like, I don't care. And my dad heard that I don't care. So my dad takes me by the shoulder and like pushes me out the house and says, you bet not come back here. And I said the three words you never say to your father. I looked at my dad and I said, suck my dick.
Boy, listen.
Before I can even get dick out of my mouth, pause. Before I can even get the D word out of my mouth, I see my dad charging at me, right? So, knowing me, I'm running, right? I'm running down the street, and my dad's running like RoboCop. I'm turning around, and he's like, you ever see the movie Get Out? How the gardener was running, like arms almost straight to his side, and like I'm running down the street. And I get to the back street, and my dad's still chasing me. And like I'm beginning to get tired. I'm not realizing my dad is a cop, deals with people for lunch. So the biggest mistake I ever made, other than telling my dad that, was I stopped, and my dad did not care if it was in the middle of the street. This man beat the tar out of me. And while he was doing it, I got the bright idea to try to punch him in the face. Mm. Right when I started swinging, I got flipped upside down. The next thing you know, I was on my chest. And my mom comes down the street like, David, get off of him. David, get off of him. I don't remember how I got back to the house. I don't remember taking a shower. I remember being in that bed sore as a bitch.
Listen.
Like, the move that they was, not to like add on, but those moves, they teach him that, like in the second week of police officer basic training, man. When you apprehend a suspect. this was like late 90s. So, you know, this was when it was considered okay to put your knee on somebody. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yep. But like, yep. Yeah, so yeah. Look, all I remember is I looked at my mom and I was like, I know she wants me to jump in to break it up.
But that shit ain't got nothing to do with me.
But I'm gonna be real with you. I done told you I was a teenager, I was gonna do a lot of shit. I was sick and you know, in and out, you know, like I just wasn't there mentally to be able to help him out. I was just like, yeah, I can't do it, mom.
No, but you know the funny thing about it is Red didn't say anything to me for about 8 hours. We both happened to be watching TV at like 1 o'clock in the morning because it was like the weekend, right? My brother looks at me because, you know, like we didn't say anything. He looks at me and says, why in the hell would you tell dad that?
It took 8 hours to process. Like I'm like, you know, so Dick is resting, and I'm like playing the video game. And I was like, did he really tell dad to suck his dick? Like, like hold on. All right. I'm like looking at him. I was like, no, that's my brother. I mean, it's not anybody else. He wasn't body snatching it. But
this is when I realized you never tell another man to.
Yeah.
And let me throw another thing in there too. Being that I know you were probably way taller than your father when this happened.
Yeah, I was.
You tall motherfuckers gotta know. If you're not 100% sure with your hands, do not fight a short motherfucker. I'm telling you this.
Oh yeah, they, for real. They'll get low and take you right down.
For real. And being that I'm short, and I know short people, our level of violence is totally different because we're short. You know what I mean? We gotta get home at the end of the night.
And I'm gonna let you know. I made one mistake in my life of fighting police officer. Their training is different.
So the next question reads: what is the worst thing you've ever done being drunk?
Oh man, worst thing I've ever done. Oh shit! Honestly, it was at a hotel party in Vegas. I think the worst thing I did, I passed out in the middle of like the fucking gazebo and had to be carried out by all my boys. Like that was, like I was face down in the fucking sand and like they literally had to carry me and drag me out that bitch. And I'm a big dude, so it's like a bunch of white guys just trying to carry a big black dude into a fucking car. Damn. And like shit was wild, man. Shit was wild.
Oh man. I would probably say the answer to this is fuck the wrong bitch, but like I've said a lot of fucked up things when I'm drunk. I would say it's probably a tie between like fucking with like the wrong chick, or saying something super fucked up. I'll go with saying something super fucked up. So I'll try to keep the story short, but short end of the story was there was this chick. I was with my group of homies and some homegirls, and there was this chick who had these two dudes fucking with her. She didn't want them to fuck with her. She was super drunk. I was super drunk. And this chick was like,
"Story,
yeah." And this chick was like, "Help me, help me! I need some help." And then so I was like, "I will walk you home," because she had lived right up the block from the club that we went to. Because we were downtown Charleston, and like the two dudes were walking with us, and we were trying to like tell the dudes to leave her alone and shit. But then like the chick was like all fucked up and drunk and saying all kind of stupid shit
and bougie at the same time,
and being bougie as like me and my homies. And to make it even feel comfortable, we had like three or four homegirls that was rolling with us too. And they was actually walking with her, and the homies was just kind of like in the back trying to talk to the two dudes like, "Yo, leave this bitch alone, man, whatever the fuck." So the two dudes they stopped, and then I'm like, "All right, man, y'all need to get up out of here, man. She ain't feeling y'all." And then the chick looked at me and said some slick shit and said, "Fuck you, you don't know what I like," or some bullshit like that. I said, "Bitch, can you just tell us not to have the two dudes fucking with you?" And then she took a swing at me, and she slapped me in the face.
It gets worse. Wait till you hear what he said.
This drunk ass chick, right? And then I was like, "Man, fuck you, bitch." Hey, I looked at my homeboys. I said, "Yo, no, let them niggas go up there and run a train on that bitch. I hope you get raped."
Damn.
Yeah. I was drunk ass.
You know what was so funny though? After he said that, all of downtown Charleston, you could hear a pin drop.
Yo, oh, wow. I was, not to mind you, that this chick's apartment was right next to like a popular like chicken sandwich place that was still open at like 2 o'clock in the morning. So it was a bunch of motherfuckers outside. And then I was with my niggas and my homegirls. And, you know, my ex was with me at the time too. So, I mean, she tried to make me not look like an asshole, but, you know, it is what it is. That was drunk as fuck, man. I said some pretty bad shit. I think that was the worst because I yelled at the top of my lungs. And I let the two niggas run up and take the girl upstairs. So she probably did get raped. So.
Gunna. She said you don't know what she like. I haven't really done anything crazy when I drink, because I don't drink like that. But like, I'll do, it's just stuff out of character, you know what I mean? Let's say, what have I done when I was super high? One thing about me is like, I don't like sugarcoat shit when I talk. I try to, but I never do, you know what I mean? If you don't know how to take it when I say it, you're going to be real offended. So I think I probably say some offensive stuff. You know what I mean? Not on purpose, but, you know, just being real. And then not apologizing about it, because I don't, you know, I don't feel I should. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I'm not trying to hurt feelings, but sometimes people just need to hear the shit. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So, my answer is going to be short, simple, and to the point. What's the worst thing you've ever done being drunk? My ex-wife.
Wow.
So, the next question reads, Have you ever had to block somebody on social media, and why? That's a weird question.
Listen, only time I've ever blocked somebody on social media is if you just literally, it's literally harassment. Like, it's harassment, or it's just, you just on some shit where it's just like, you just all in my business, you toxic, and I need to cut you off.
Right, 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 right.
Because a lot of motherfuckers deserve to be blocked. They deserve it. Like, you earned that block.
I have a very unique answer for mine. On social media, I actually have my my lady blocked. There's a purpose for that. There's a reason. And not because I'm out there doing shit, because Digga and Two Guns, those who follow me on social media, know I'm not active on that motherfucker whatsoever.
Correct.
But I have my lady blocked because, and this goes back two relationships ago, to where, like, at one time I had social media and an argument happened on my Facebook page between my exes, and like the whole world saw that, like, or right. Not the whole
it's
world,
embarrassing.
But, you know, like, but like everybody in my world saw that on that page, so I had to delete my social media and I didn't have it for a long time, and I made a commitment to myself that. Like, because the reason why they found out about each other, because one posted on my page and the other one was like, they said something about it. And like, and I had wasn't even dating the girl. I had just broke up with the one chick, and then the other chick I wasn't even talking to at the point yet. And yeah, so I made a vow that when I get back on social media, I'm not going to let any of my significant others, my current significant other, follow me. Not because I'm out there doing shit, but I just like my peace of mind. Right. You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't want to have somebody, like, I went to high school with, like, a picture or something that I have. And then now you have the investigative girlfriend, like, going through and, like, who's this bitch? Who's that bitch?
Right. Exactly.
Or,
exactly.
Like, clicking on it and checking out their pages and, like, oh, why does so-and-so like you? I don't need that shit. So, like, I have my significant other blocked on social media just for my peace of mind.
Gotcha. All right.
I block all those, like, Forex traders and bitches that the sex worker fake pages. If somebody follows me, I don't know, female-wise, and they're ugly, I'll block them. If you're ugly and I know you, you can stay on. I never had to, like, block anybody personally, I don't think. I might have just stopped following them because maybe it was something, like, really stupid. They're always, like, some people just do stuff that's just mad annoying. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
Like, the social media complainers.
Right.
Sometimes you just got to, like, block them off. Like, nobody feels like seeing that every day.
I'm sorry. I got one more to add. And I think I mentioned this on the show before. I also block anybody who sends me a page of your pet or your car, like some inanimate object. That's cool that you got that page, but don't send that shit to me. my coworker literally came up to me like four times, like, "Hey man," like he was like, "Hey man, you keep blocking my dog's page." I said, "You know what? I blocked his ass right after that too." And I was like, "Man, you fucking weirdo. Nah, I don't need to see a page of your fucking dog or a page of your fucking car." Oh, because, fuck that shit.
Well, see, a car page, if it's like some old school that you're like restoring, I can understand.
That's different though. I'm talking about this motherfucker.
Like, but if you got a 2022 something, like,
this dude had a souped up Honda Civic, which is cool. But then, like, he was posting shit like, "Oh, here's my Honda at the beach. Oh, here's my Honda downtown.
Yeah, that's
here's
weird.
A picture of my Honda in front of the hot dogs." Get the fuck out of here with that, man. Yeah. don't send me that shit. Get the fuck out of here.
You acting like it's Lightning McQueen and he goes there by himself or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool for you if you like that, but nah, I don't need that.
So, with me, have I ever had to block somebody? Yeah. Of course, we all have had to block somebody. It says, and why? Because sometimes people are just annoying. Sometimes people just ask the wrong questions. Just like, hey, you know, are you with XYZ? That's none of your fucking business.
Right.
Everybody on this, you know, phone call has at least seen who I'm dating. But does the general public know? No. Why would you?
You seem to get a lot of questions about your relationship and sexual status from Instagram.
Yeah, you need to just start doing your own Dick in the Dark podcast.
Yeah, you might need to do a spring cleaning on your shit, maybe.
I'm about to, man.
Yeah.
Dick After Dark. Just don't delete the followers and the listeners.
Yeah, they the ones trying to get in his pants.
The next question reads, let's settle this debate. Who has the best fast food fries? And Two Gun and I actually had this conversation before.
Man, best fast food fries?
The best fast food fries.
I'm not going to lie, man. Depending on if I'm really high or if I'm drunk, at the end of the day, the first place I'm going to for fries is McDonald's. I don't know why. It's McDonald's.
Okay.
A lot of people say that.
I'm going to have to agree. McDonald's. For me, that is. Definitely McDonald's. I don't like the thick fries to Wendy's or Burger King. McDonald's.
It's just something about McDonald's shoestring fries.
Yeah.
It's something, man. I don't know what it is. They might be putting that crack cocaine in some shit. Fucking mess. I don't know.
To the person that asked about the crack, have we ever dated crack? No, but we tried McDonald's fries. Gunner.
I'm going to have to say, in all truth, like thinking about it, it's Bojangles.
Bojangles does have some banging ass fries.
But there's no Bojangles up here where I'm at.
That's what I'm saying. But like, when we talking about like, you know, fast food, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, you know what I'm saying? Then I gotta go with Chick-fil-A. It's just something about waffle fries. And then, like me and Digga was saying, those Arby's crinkle fries, they're pretty damn good.
What?
Yeah. Listen, it just depends on how you like your potatoes at the end of the day.
Yeah. If y'all never had
Arby's crinkle fries.
Listen, if y'all have never had
Arby's
crinkle cut fries, boy.
See, that's the thing. Some people like those Checkers Popeyes fries.
Right.
Yeah.
With you know what I mean? With the breading and all that. I personally, I got to go with them salty-ass Bojangles motherfuckers, boy.
Right. Because Bojangles have, like, the flat shoestring fries. Flat shoestring fries.
Yeah, but it's the seasoning.
Because they got that damn Cajun seasoning.
Yes, Lord.
So, but my favorite fries is the tie between two. Is Arby's crinkle cut and McDonald's.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you my favorite fries of all time, just in general, is those fries you get from the fair in the Coke cup and you spray it with the malt vinegar and the salt.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
I'm so glad you said that because I was thinking the same thing.
Word.
I was like, wait a minute. Like, do they put the motherfucking malt vinegar and shit on them?
Oh, my God.
Them hoes, nigga. Them bitches slap.
Ain't nothing like them fries in that damn red Coke cup, boy, at the fair.
Oh, my God.
The word.
And you just spray it and get the nice amount of coating, not too wet, just a nice little mist with the sea salt. I can feel my pressure going up right now.
The next question. And there's a typo on this. So I'm going to read it with the typo and what it's supposed to be. So this says, with all the massa shootings.
Massa.
Which is supposed to be mass. With all the mass shootings going on, offer us some good news.
Golden State and Dallas are playing right now.
That is good news.
Dallas is winning.
Are they? Okay.
I mean, for me, like I mean, with all these mass shootings going on, I don't really think. I can't really think of like any good news. I mean, there's good news out there, but what I'm afraid of
what the answer to this question is. Like, with everything going on, we shouldn't try to divert the attention away from it. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we need the good news to, like, help raise our spirits, but we can't forget that this shit's going on and just sweep it under the rug. You know what I mean? Like, we have to, like, kind of keep it at the forefront so that way we know when it's time to vote and when it's time to go out there and make a change and time to volunteer, whatever, we're available for that. I mean, so only good news that I have right now is I'm off tomorrow. I don't know, but yeah, like yeah, it's good to find some good news, but don't forget like all the shit that's going on, man. Don't we got to do something about it.
Some good news. I have no idea. It's summertime. You know what I mean? Springtime, weather's nice. Don't be afraid. Yes. Oh God. Yeah. Don't be afraid to go outside. You know, that's one thing that, you know, when you have things like this, people start getting like, oh, I can't go to the grocery store. I can't go to school. I can't, you know, you just got to live your life, man.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, good news. I've seen the come fuck me shorts and sundresses at Walmart, lady.
Yo, let me tell you something about this pandemic shit. This pandemic shit ruined the 2 or 3 o'clock morning Walmart run where you could just see. Oh my God!
The club girls, the strip, you know, strip club girls and shit.
Oh, man, just the girls looking to get fucked. I used to see bitches that like, ain't no way you came out the house 3 o'clock in the morning with them house shoes on and that skirt, and you was not trying to get fucked in the fucking dog food aisle. I just don't believe it.
Hell nah.
Like, you was really trying to get fucked by these baby helmets in this bicycle section, wasn't you? Ain't nobody gonna be over here at 3 in the morning. Ain't nobody looking for no bike.
Nobody.
You over here by the fish tanks, bitch. You know what you're doing.
Trying to disguise the smell. I see.
For real. Oh, God.
Word. So, some good news I got for people is, look, some of y'all woke up this morning. Some of you can wiggle your fingers. Some of you can wiggle your toes. Anytime you get the power to wake up, you get the power to change your situation.
That's it.
And that's word. So, the next question reads, most underrated songs of all time. I'm not certain if it's supposed to be song or songs.
Oh my God, here we go. It's too many.
Yeah.
It really is, man.
And I felt like we've went through this before.
We have.
Because you got to understand, when you're talking about all time, you know how many songs come out every year?
Every day.
And we at the age where we could go back. Well, we can't go back, but we know songs from the 50s and 60s also.
Right.
Exactly.
So whatever you say on this one is just whatever.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I don't even have an answer for this one because it's just it's too many.
It's too many.
Way too many, man.
Especially if you're not really a follower of music. Like, most people only know the lead hits or the radio hits. They don't know, like, the deep cuts.
Exactly.
And you know, they don't know the side Bs.
Man. Right.
Yeah, there's a... I can't even, off the top of my head, name... I mean, I could try to name a few, but, like I agree. This is way too many, like, underrated songs because it's going to be, you know?
I was going to name an album, a whole album to revisit.
Okay. And that's that's like a lot of those you can do.
That's true. Yeah. Like, the album I want people to revisit is Volume 3 by Jay-Z.
I'm good on that one.
What?
Yeah.
Jay-Z, in my opinion, is his most underrated album.
Okay.
Like, song for song, bar for bar. He has one line that it was just like, he says, we don't engage in war, we elope. Orange juice nigga beat a nigga to a pulp. I was like, whoa.
Well, see, with Jay, it's never about the lyrics. With him and Nas, it's like, a lot of stuff is like the beat selection.
Yeah.
But, like, and I think Volume 3
was underrated.
I don't think it was coherent. It didn't have no glide to it like Blueprint did or Reasonable Doubt.
But but the track selection, there's been a murder. NYMP, Things That You Do with Mariah Carey. Dope.
I hate that fucking song.
Do you?
Listen, there was one point where I still have it in my top three, but volume three is, there was one point where I actually had it as like, for a long time, had it as my favorite Jay-Z album. But like,
when it first came out, after a while, it kind of got lost in the shuffle with me.
Nah, I still got it up there as top three, man.
It's up there for me too, but for me, it was one of his albums to me that had more like a mixtape feel to it, because it was
right.
It was a real mixtape feel to that album. Real mixtape feel to
it. It was.
Like, the only song that I really don't like on that is S. Dot Carter.
I like that song. I think you don't. Is it because of Mill that you don't like it?
No, it wasn't because of a Mill. It just didn't fit on the album to me. But you know what track actually stands out after all these years?
What?
Snoopy track.
Well, that was one of my favorite tracks.
Yeah. There's Been a Murder is my favorite Jay-Z song of all time.
That's true.
You know that.
I just ain't a fan of Volume 3 like that.
I do have a soundbite that There's Been a Murder. Where are we at?
Don't let us get flagged because of this.
I don't want to play too much of that song because I don't want to get flagged again.
I think I got one. If I can put out there, maybe one underrated album, and I'll give my explanation why I think it's underrated. Y'all probably won't think it's underrated, but I'll tell you.
Was they asking for albums or songs?
They was asking for songs, but
I'm going
to talk about an album that I revisited the other day, and that was Usher's Raymond versus Raymond.
That album is great.
The reason why I thought it was underrated, or why I feel like some people may think it's underrated, even though it's an amazing album, is because it came after two very, like, it came after a subpar album from Usher. You know what I mean? Was it one subpar album or two?
It was one subpar album because Here I Stand.
Yeah, Here I Stand was
after Confessions.
Yeah, because like you have Confessions, which was like probably like one, it's in the running for one of the greatest R&B albums of all time. Yeah, I said it. Confessions is, but then like you have Here I Stand that came up right after that, and then that shit was so flat. So damn.
But it had like one of his best songs on. Usually people who make a bad album, they'll have one song that's like their best song.
Yeah.
But like, that's weird.
It was, but that album came so flat. Like, I think like the expectations for like when Raymond versus Raymond came out were kind of low. And then the lead single off of Raymond versus Raymond was that fucking Paper song. And then like it was like, what the fuck is this? But right. Then like that, and then he came out with like the club hit, Oh My God, Little Freak, and like, and then that whole album was pretty dope.
The opening track was my favorite. What was the name of that shit? Monster.
Mm. Well, that one,
yeah, the opening track was my favorite on that album.
Well, maybe I'm reaching, but that's maybe I'm reaching a little bit. But Raymond versus Raymond, just listen to that damn
album. But I do want to say something about Here I Stand. Here I Stand was bound to fail anyway, because after you come out with Confessions, how do you top that?
I get herpes.
Yeah.
It's just like you said. What?
I get herpes.
But I'm gonna tell you like this: after a bunch of artists' best album came a subpar album. You look at The Blueprint. What came out after The Blueprint? The Blueprint 2.
That shit was just too long.
Yeah.
What came out after It Was Written? I Am.
You know what I mean? I Am was dope though. I like I Am.
But Nostradamus followed.
It was there wasn't no classics. They was good. There was not no classics.
Like I said, every rapper releases a subpar album after he releases, you know, a good album. It happens. Like Scarface released The Untouchable right after The Diary.
Except Ghostface.
Ghostface
is a perfect example. But Ghostface's first five albums were dope to me.
Yeah, I said except Ghostface.
What were you saying, Kush?
Oh, no, I was just going to add to the list of most underrated albums, since we're going to go in on albums instead of just the songs they sell.
Okay.
It was, what's that one group, Playa? Cheers to you.
Cheers to you.
That whole fucking album, man. Listen, man, I don't care what nobody say, man. If y'all go back and you listen to that whole album, they slayed that whole fucking album, bro.
They did.
They were ahead of their time, because if that album came out now, motherfuckers would be bumping that shit all day.
Right, I'm gonna have to go back and listen to that.
All day. I'm telling you.
R&B just ain't the same no more, though.
Oh, hell no.
It's not. No, it's not the same at all. It's mumble R&B. Like, they mumble and shit.
And it's so dirty. You can't even listen to it, like, with your parents.
Right. Nah.
It's like, then, pussy, 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 dick, pussy, pussy, and your motherfucker.
It's really and you know what's sad about that? Is because, like, I feel like right now, when people think of R&B, they think of, like, Chris Brown. Even Chris Brown transitioned from, like, traditional R&B and making good albums to, like, all that. I feel like more of his R&B is aligned with what some of the hip-hop and rap is now. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's not really R&B.
Right.
All right. So, I do want to transcend to the next question.
I bet.
It's a perfect example of irony.
Oh, man. That guy got a deep.
Yeah, they trying to.
Shit. Perfect example of irony.
Like, you having a chick and she say you ain't shit, then she get pregnant by a nigga who beat her up every day. Yep.
That worked. That's
a great example. That's a great fucking example.
You know what my perfect example of irony is? Billboards. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you why. They don't want you to text and drive, but yet when you're going on a road, they want you to look up and read these motherfuckers. You know?
And you know what? Y'all never thought of that. You write about that shit, though.
Billboards, to me, are the perfect example of irony. And you'll see a billboard that reads, "Don't text and drive."
For real.
But you got me reading this motherfucker while I'm driving.
Exactly.
Oh, if you get injured in a car wreck, call blah, blah, blah. Fuck, I ran off the road reading that shit. You thought I was just going to slam into an 18-wheeler for no reason?
That to me is the perfect example of irony.
That's a good one.
Oh, y'all just want to go to the next?
Yeah, I know.
Go to the next one.
All right, so the next question reads. Next one reads, what is your favorite after the club meal?
Oh, I got one, a perfect example of irony, real quick. Fucking Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial.
Oh, man.
Okay, yeah.
Word, that bitch out here looking crazy as fuck. Come to find out she was beating on this nigga.
Right.
Getting in the bed.
Word.
Oh, that bitch is crazy too.
Yo, did y'all see the dude the other day had on trial? The one that was like clearly on blow with the Bobby Brown job?
I sent some of y'all that clip. I don't know if I sent it to you.
You
or
sent
not.
It to no, me. Yeah. Where he was talking about I watched the damn Pirates of the Caribbean movie, the study his behavior. And he was like, "Well, did you watch Willy Wonka?" He didn't say shit.
I'm the expert.
Oh, man.
That's,
oh, man,
that's the perfect example.
That is
of
the
irony.
Perfect example of irony. So, the next question reads, what is your favorite after the club meal?
Favorite after the club meal? I ain't gonna lie, man. My favorite after the club meal is Steak and Shake.
Hey.
Steak
and Shake. Get that burger, man. It's something about just a greasy ass burger and some fries, nigga. Just, they get the job done.
There it is.
Indigestion.
Yeah. I'm gonna put you on to something that a lot of people didn't know about. But shout out to the homeboy Dub, C Dub, for finding this. But the perfect after the club meal for me, well, first and foremost is you know IHOP. Got to go to IHOP, get the omelet, the ham and cheese omelet. But then get the chicken wings from IHOP. For those who don't know. IHOP has chicken wings. Or they used to have chicken wings. And the chicken wings at IHOP, they will bring you, it would be like, what, $10, $15? Well, $10, some shit like that.
and they bring you 10 big ass breaded fried wings, them motherfuckers hit. Ham and cheese omelet and chicken wings from IHOP.
Yep.
Okay.
I would say any type of like breakfast meal, you know, wherever you go, whether it's like you said, omelet, whether it's, you know, a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich or the full course breakfast, pancake, waffle, or whatever. I just think any type of breakfast meal.
Word, word. So mine is, believe it or not, chicken tenders and pancakes from IHOP. Now, IHOP has butter pecan syrup.
Yeah.
You can't find butter pecan syrup nowhere but IHOP. There's just something about IHOP, butter pecan syrup, pancakes, and chicken tenders that hits the spot well.
And so, it depends on where you live, because like it's a lot of places that got like local favorites.
Right.
Like in New York, it used to be this burger spot called Jumbo's or Jimbo's. Go get you a burger at the window real quick, keep it moving type shit. Right.
I went to Jersey, and there was a little spot in Jersey that was busy as fuck. It literally looked like a shack, but them motherfuckers were serving like fried chicken and like they had like, I'm talking about like fried chicken, cornbread and shit at like fucking three in the morning.
In Jersey, a lot of diners were open, and diners were the spot in Jersey.
Yeah, that's another New York, like up north thing, diners.
Yeah.
Out here, Detroit, it's Coney's. They're like diners, but they call them Coney Islands.
Gotcha.
But it's not really, you don't really sit in there. For personal, like, you know what I'm saying? That's where you like go get shot at 3 in the morning.
I was gonna say, Kush can attest to this. There's a lot of spots open in Vegas, but they're not safe to go to after about 12:30.
Goddamn right, man.
The legit, stay on the strip in a hotel when you want to get something to eat after a certain
time. Don't go to Fremont Street.
Oh my God, stay away from Fremont. That's when the fucking weirdos come out. You hear me?
Yo. When I was there in December, Fremont Street was like, y'all know the song "The Freaks Come Out at Night." It's true,
of course.
Motherfuckers walking like the Walking Dead and shit.
It's nuts out there, bro.
But word. So the next question reads: do y'all ever look at our questions and laugh to yourselves?
Yes,
we just laughed at a couple of y'all questions tonight.
Sometimes we look at the questions and be like, what the fuck is going on in these people's lives?
Yeah, we be judging, man. Especially, I still remember that one about the, my mama fuck my man. What was that question?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What was the other one?
The mama was fucking the dude before she got with him.
Yeah, crazy. The mom slept with the dude before she got, the girl got with him.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that shit. But yeah, sometimes when y'all send me, I'm not going to sit there and lie. I will call Two Gun and be like, yo, this question says XYZ, XYZ. Or, you know, like, even when I post a question and I say this will be answered tonight, I have people hit me up on the inbox going, why would somebody say this?
For real.
Yeah. Well, there was another question a couple weeks ago. It was like, yo, I think I might be gay.
Yeah,
because I'd be with my girl and I'd be thinking about men or some shit like that.
He's talking about hugging and kissing a man or something.
Yeah,
oh, episode
212. Yeah. Hey, man, y'all interesting people out there, man.
Living your life at the end of the day.
To each his own.
Man, live your life.
So the next question read: what is the dumbest thing you've heard from somebody trying to be smart?
Words. Nothing specific, just words coming out of their mouth.
Yeah.
I got a good example. I ain't gonna say who said this, but this is a funny ass story. So somebody was talking about a ring being around their bathtub, right? You know what I mean? Like, you know how when you got a dirty ass bathtub, you get a ring and shit about it. And the person that I was talking about was like, well, the reason why I got a ring around my bathtub is because I'm black. I was like, explain. And it was like, well, you know,
the skin pigment, and it may be kind of true, but I didn't buy that shit. Like, well, the skin pigment of black people are darker, so that's why the ring around the bathtub shows, because with white folks, since their skin pigment is lighter, it doesn't show like the white skin, the white skin cells around the bathtub.
That's some dumb shit right there.
I was like, yo, you actually believe this shit? You actually believe this shit? Like this, that I'm gonna let you know that that's not true. That the shit that's around the bathtub is called soap scum from dirt. Like,
I want to know what white person told him this.
I'm gonna also tell you, and Digga, you'll know who I'm talking about when I say this. This is also the same motherfucker that said that Batman and Superman, them motherfuckers are brothers. I'm believing at that. I'm going to leave it at that.
So, hey, usually if you get a ring around your bathtub, you probably need to put some Drano in there because all that shit ain't washing down.
Right. Oh, you just ain't cleaned it. Like, you didn't scrub the tub. Not at all.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're just I think, too, a lot of it is. Like a lot of people like oily skin and a lot of lotion.
Correct.
Yeah, it'll hit and stick more than it would. You know what I mean?
Basically, what people fail to realize is these stuff is basically bodily discharge deposits. Like
just buildup.
Everybody gets it though. Like it's not brown around your tub because you black.
Would y'all like to know a fun fact though that I learned?
But
do you know each day the body produces enough salt to salt, I think it said like 38 bags of chips?
Damn.
That makes sense.
That's a lot of salt.
Yeah, but that's probably salt and deposits on your body. That's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like if you wear a hat too much in the summertime, you start to see the white salt get around the rim of that shit.
Correct. Like, I think the dumbest thing I've heard from somebody trying to sound smart was, if you do not vote for me, you're not even black.
Wow.
But
that was just on some, how you say, that man clearly got some type of old people, Alzheimer's, dementia setting in type situation.
But also, we do have one more question that came in, all right?
All right.
I got to answer this because my homegirl answered. I'm asked this. She says, what do you think about living in the States? Are you guys happy out there and why?
Living in the States? Where is she living? She's not in the States?
She lives in Canada.
That's basically the States.
I'm going to answer that first.
Except with the free healthcare.
I'm going to answer that and say I can only compare state to state because I've never lived outside of America.
Right.
So I can't speculate how good or bad it would be. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
what was the question?
I should say, how do you feel about living in the United States?
What do you think about living in the States? Are you guys happy there and why?
Because I was born here. Like,
that's all we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people, that's all we know.
I mean, for me,
that's all I know. I don't come for money. I can't travel the fucking world. I'm pretty sure if I was able to get out of America and travel like that, I'd have been gone. You know what I mean? But
I mean, I would say,
and Miss Lady, I would like to tell her you're living on stolen land too. By the way,
pretty much.
Okay, I'm gonna let you know. Like, there's certain states that are better than others.
Yeah, that's what I say. I can only go by state to state.
I've lived in three states so far in my life, and out of the three states, in the areas where I lived in, like, I would prefer one over the other, and that would be Virginia. I love living in Virginia, in all honesty.
Beautiful, man.
I say living in the States depends on, like, to your point, depends on where you live, and the only thing that I would want from Canada is the free healthcare. Because that shit gets expensive, even the more kids you have. But other than that, man, like, I don't, I mean, this is all I know. Like, to that point, this is all I know. So, I mean, I'm good with living in the state, which I was still in Virginia, but other than that, you know.
I'm at four states, so my favorite place was Brooklyn. I ain't gonna lie.
Okay.
Yeah. The cost of living is something different, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So, but, like, just, like, the atmosphere of everything, like, New York City is especially Brooklyn for me, it's just, like, it's a feel to it. I can't even explain it.
And I gotta correct Red real fast.
What?
Red, you're not at 3-4.
That is correct. I forgot Florida.
Yeah. So, I'm at, hold on, let me see.
I'm at four
as well. And
I'm at three.
Like everybody, the general consensus, it depends on what state you're in before, you know, you really could say, are we happy living in the States? Because I've never lived in Vegas, but I've been there many times just to know that Vegas is that city.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I've been to, you know, places like Charlotte. Charlotte is fucking beautiful.
Yep.
And it just depends on what you like when it comes, like, to living.
Yeah.
Like Pigeon Forge is a slower pace of life for me. It's so fun. There's so much to do. It's just a slower pace. It's just like being in Vegas with no traffic, being in Vegas with less people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love Vegas. I was out there for 20 years. I love it. But coming back home to Ohio, I miss this shit.
Yeah.
And honestly, I miss, there are certain places in Texas that me and Red's been to that we loved and adored.
Yeah, right there outside of Austin. Listen, for me, I live right out, well, they call it Nova, like Northern Virginia, or they call it the DMV for DMV. DC, yeah, DC, Maryland, Virginia. And I lived in that area, and I'm like, if I had the money, because to Two Gun's point, like, the cost of living down there and the housing, it's only housing, because housing is like 200%+ more than where I currently live. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But if I had the money, I would definitely move back down there. You know what I mean? I loved it down there, and it was very diverse down there.
You know what I loved about Red living in Virginia, though? Motherfucker Roy Rogers.
Oh, Roy Rogers was dope. I will tell you what.
I still ain't had Roy Rogers yet.
What?
Roy Rogers is the
It is. And here's the thing about living in Virginia. Like living in Virginia, you'll love to live in Virginia, but not Southern Virginia. I won't even stop my car in Southern Virginia.
It's got to be Northern Virginia. It's got to be.
But
I think if I had a choice to live somewhere, though, I think I'd do an island.
I'd probably live in Las Vegas, or I'd probably live in Pittsburgh. Word.
I got to do an island. Perfect weather all year round. You know, everything is local. You ain't got to worry about too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like some of these,
if you got the money,
these places hold a special place in, you know, my heart. Because like me and Red went to Georgetown, Texas, across the street from my grandmother's house. It wasn't even really much across the street. It was just right there. There was a field that we played football in, and there was an abandoned church. I've never seen anybody go in that church on Sunday or anything.
That shit was haunted, but
but you know, like, just certain things. And even the last time we went to Texas, where we, you know, we would go from my grandmother's house to my Aunt Deb's house. It was magic seeing some places. Like, there was a convenience store called Wagabag that we loved frequenting.
Yeah.
Just like
the only issue with those areas, so digger, and this is the issue with a lot of areas to where, like, it takes the nostalgia away from it, is like there's a lot of gentrification going on in some of these areas to where they're just going in there and gutting everything and then turning it into what they feel like what America wants or what people want. So you got to be careful with some of that. Like I said, that's why I like Northern Virginia, because like what you see is what you get, and there's not a lot of that going on. And,
I think I said something about that before. Like, our age, we're old enough to know what the 50s and 60s, 70s look like, because when we were little, it was still the same facades.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was the same lighting, the same boards, the same, you know what I mean? We know what an old Woolworth and a Five and Dime look like.
Right. Say right. World War.
It's true though. I mean, it's true. Real. Like, we know what an old telephone booth looks like.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know, like we know what traditional toy stores look like. Even though there was no KB's Toys, no Funland, you know, Funko Land and Funland Toys and shit like that. We know what these things look like before social media.
Yeah. Like lunch counters. That's not a thing that people know about anymore.
Right.
No.
So where you go eat lunch in a department store.
Right.
Depending on where you're at, because some of them was white only, but, you know, we're not going to get into all that.
Yeah, that's just like, you know, remember when me and you were trying to figure out the name of Piccadilly Cafe?
Yeah.
I know that's a
name. Oh, Piccadilly.
Red, I was about to say, I know that's the name Red ain't heard in a minute.
Nah. I'm going to be real with you. Like, the only... I hear the name Piccadilly all the time when I play that Call of Duty game because there's a level on Call of Duty and multiplayer called Piccadilly, and every time I see it, I think of that goddamn cafe.
Oh no, we were talking about Morrison's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because we was like, what's the other thing that's like Piccadilly? It was Morrison's.
Word. So, and Backstage Deli.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Words. All that good shit. Like, we know what it is to be in a movie theater and your feet getting stuck to the floor.
And then on top of that, like, one of the things that I always think about when it comes to nostalgia is mom and dad used to have this saying, okay, you can only get one ride. You either get a ride there or a ride home.
Oh, I hate that shit. Just say you don't want to be a parent today. Just say that.
All right. So, like, I remember sitting there by the payphone, you know, seeing if anybody had 35 cents so you can call mom and just say, all right, we're ready. You know what I mean?
No. How about you having to call collect just to say, I'm ready and hanging up? Come get me. Hang up. Collect call from we're ready. Hang up.
They will never know the struggle.
They will never.
1-800-CALLATT, and it was all down the middle.
1-800-COLLECT.
1-800-CALL-ATT.
How about calling people 10-10-220? You get like the first 10 minutes for a penny, and then it's like 10 cents a minute after like 20 minutes or something like that.
Like, yeah, the party lines.
Calling cards and all that kind of
crazy. Calling cards.
Word. Oh, man, they'll never know, man.
They'll never know about free after 9 p.m.
But you know what's funny, though? Me and my homeboy Rich were talking to my son the other day, right? And I sounded so old, but it felt so good to tell him about things that we've been through and just going through certain neighborhoods and telling him stories. Hey, me and your Uncle Mark were over there doing XYZ, and he just seemed so enthralled hearing how simplistic our life was. And he was just like, y'all had no phones, no this, no nothing? And you're like, nah,
fam. Fuck no, man.
None of that.
And for those who have children and you get to tell them some of these stories, there is nothing like feeling like an old man, realizing in your head, I made it to tell my son these stories.
Mm.
Like, and I know, Two Gun, you know, you don't have any children, but when you do get a chance to talk to, you know, children of the generation, because I know B. Lucchini has kids, and you have, you know, cousins and shit like that. Anytime you get a chance to tell these stories, well, we did this, we did that. There was no such thing as an online ordering catalog. We can actually go in stores and try on clothes before we bought them.
Man.
You know what I mean? You got it.
Oh, you had to wait to get that catalog in the mail.
Exactly. Like, one thing that bugged my son out is I said, yo, man, we can go to a store on Saturday and everybody had the same pair of Jordans on Monday. He's like, they had that many shoes? Yeah.
We got that, and they cost $100.
Exactly. We didn't have to go to an app where there's limited sizes and you lost out on a raffle. So
and not only that, you could wait 6 months and get them half price and they'll still have a bunch of sizes.
And they'll be in stock.
Learn.
So
that's how I used to get most of my Jordans when I was younger. I used to wait till a new one came out, and I went and got the old one for half price.
Exactly.
But yeah, I was like the original retro nigga.
But I guess we'll end the show on a nostalgic note. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Digga Jones. That's Two Gun Tony. This is the Troublemakers Podcast. And it's been another installment of Talk Tuesday. So I want to thank our correspondents, D and Red, for being on the show. And we will do closing statements in order of speech tonight.
Hey, man, you know what? Closing statement. It was nice to be on the show again, man. It's been too long. I might have to get back on here again, but listen, man. Everybody stay positive out here. We're living in a crazy-ass world right now, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Get down on one knee, get down on two knees, whatever you want to do, but just pray about it. Everything's going to be all right.
Amen. Hey. Red.
Yeah, same, man. Thank y'all once again for the questions. Y'all always be coming correct with the questions, some good questions. Like Kush said, man, just pray on it. A lot of crazy stuff going on right now. Make sure y'all going out there doing what you can do within your ability to help one another, doing what you do in your ability to control what you can control, and really putting the power back in the right hands. Voting, volunteering in your area, do what you need to do. Prayers out to all the families of the tragedies that we've had over the last several weeks, which is just fucking sad to say. But other than that, take care of yourself, take care of each other.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks for the questions.
Gunner.
Thanks for another good episode. Thanks right. for listening to us. Thanks for sending in the questions.
Right.
You know, it's the springtime. And, you know, school year's coming to a close.
It is.
You know, everybody just try to take time to, you know, just try to make the best out of whatever you have. You know what I mean? No matter what you have or no matter what you're going to do, just try to make the best out of it.
Word.
You know? And watch out for that monkeypox.
Oh, yeah.
Word.
Wait, hold on. I might have read the news wrong, but didn't they say monkeypox only targets, like, bisexual and gay people?
I don't know if that's real or not, but what I saw was that a lot of this, a monkeypox can be misdiagnosed because it looks like an STD rash.
Right.
So, yeah, watch out who you fucking.
Gotcha.
Maybe we should just be, if you're not in a relationship with somebody, be really careful.
Word.
You know.
Please. Y'all keep getting tested.
Word.
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Digga Jones, and I want to thank Two Gun Tony for being such a gracious host and executive producer, Red and Kush. It's been great. I actually want to do a show about the nostalgia that we talked about at the end of the episode. I think that'd be a dope episode to handle outside of on Tuesday. As always, if you know somebody going through a hard time or somebody struggling, it only takes 3 seconds to text or call them and ask them if they're good. That 3 seconds can go a long way. Two Gun.
Yo.
Close us out with some music.
Don't get canceled.
No.
I sued.
Oh, he said no?
No, I said don't get canceled. I sued.
That's all I got playing right now. Hey. Yep, we're gonna close it on a smooth note.
Hey. Ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, God bless and good night.
Peace.
Good night.
Holla.